हर्ष येना श्रीयर अन्भिक्षा मनीषया थद अज्ञावाशयात कुतोस्थ भारतीयर आत्मान यथो भवेत। The great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of the mind, studied the Vedas three times, and after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. This beautiful verse we are reading from today is being spoken by Shukadeva Goswami in the second canto, chapter 2 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to know from Goswami Shukadeva, what is the perfection of religion? There are many scriptures that have been revealed to humanity in different parts of the world at different times. And there has been many prophets, many great religious reformers. And there are so many various traditions and religions and rituals. Wherever you go, religion is essentially the basis of every culture and society. Maharaj Parikshit was wondering, what is the perfection? What is the goal? What is the essence of all religion? And Shukadeva Goswami is answering it in this particular verse. Lord Brahma is the original founder of all religions, because Lord Brahma is the original enunciator of spiritual principles. He took birth directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the beginning of the universe. And at that time, the Supreme Lord instructed him to perform tapasya for purification, which is very important to understand, that the whole purpose of this universe is purification. We come to this world of birth and death where there is so much suffering simply because we have impure desires, we have impure motivations. That impure desire is that we want to be the enjoyer. We want to claim proprietorship over that which we can somehow or other obtain. And we want to enjoy the prestige of the inclinations of the false ego. Actually, the soul, which is part and parcel of God, is pure. Purity means no selfish aspirations. Purity means to understand our eternal constitutional nature. We are meant for the enjoyment of the Supreme Lord. We are meant to serve the Supreme Lord in every aspect of our life. Nothing in our existence should be separate from our loving expression of service to Krishna. And in the spiritual world, everyone is of this nature. And in the spiritual sky, there is no material motivations. But the living entity comes into this material manifestation because of a polluted, corrupted aspiration in life. And God, who has many names and many religions. He creates this universe simply to help give an opportunity for us to purify that desire and return to our original natural position of His loving servants. Therefore, the first words spoken to the first living entity in this existence to establish the real purpose of existence of this universe was Krishna telling Brahma, purify yourself. Tapa. Tapa means tapasya. Tapasya means to accept whatever is required to purify our hearts. We can follow so many religious traditions, but if we are not becoming purified of the false ego and the mental and sensual desires within us, then it is all a waste of time. Dharma shvanushtata pungsang vishvakshena katashiyat notpadiyed yatirashim shama evahi kevalam. Whatever spiritual practices we perform, if we are not becoming purified of lust, of kama, of desire, then it is all a waste of time. And herein Shukadev Goswami describes how Brahma, he very, very carefully performed all this tapasya, and thus doing so, Krishna revealed the Vedas to him. And Brahma scrutinizingly studied the Vedas. And what is his capacity to understand? He has the capacity to create all the species of life, 8,400,000 in number. He has the capacity to create different planets and all these manifestations. He is the most brilliant being. And he scrutinizingly studied the Vedic knowledge that the Lord gave him. And through his spiritual realization, he came to the conclusion that attraction for Krishna is the supreme perfection of religion and of life. And that is what every human being should make as the goal. Samashitaye patapalava plavam mahatpudya shunya murari padam padam yadvi padam lati. Bhavam buddhir vatsa padam 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 yadvi padam latesha. We should not make our goal anything in this world, because it is a place where there is danger at every step. Our goal should be to become attracted to Krishna. And those who aspire to be attracted to Krishna, they have to give up their propensity to enjoy the things of this world. And such persons become the greatest threat to materialistic civilization. Because material civilization is based on the point of cheaters and cheated, exploitation. And how does Maya exploit us? By making us attracted to the objects of the senses. If you are attracted to the objects of the senses, you become the slave of material energy. You become like a puppet, and Maya just pulls the strings of various sensual attractions, and we move accordingly. But a person who is self-controlled, is independent, can actually be peaceful, can actually find real satisfaction in life. And besides that, such people, they do not want to buy those products or indulge in those activities which are simply meant to steal our consciousness away from Krishna. And materialistic society, the whole economy, is more or less based on that principle. Producing artificial necessities of life and various forms of entertainment and enjoyment to somehow or other steal our consciousness away from the real purpose and completely absorb it in frivolous, useless, temporary, so-called pleasures. But the devotees of the Lord, they are actually happy. Just a few days ago, we were having Harinam Sankirtan in downtown London. And there was about over 100 devotees, Piccadilly Circus. We were going down so many of the roads of London. And in Piccadilly Circus, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people coming from all over the world to find some sort of enjoyment, because it is a place that is famous. And everyone was just so depressed. They were so bewildered. And the devotees were chanting blissfully. It was such a wonderful kirtan. They were just dancing. And everyone was simply smiling. And these people have never seen anything like this. They were just looking, like, what are they doing? How could people be so happy? How could people possibly be so happy? These gray, gloom streets, dark, cloudy skies, and these people are dancing? What is this? Some were asking, what kind of drugs are you taking? Can you sell me these drugs? I've taken all drugs, I've taken all intoxications, I've never seen bliss like this. I'll pay any amount. What is it you're taking? We told them it is the best intoxication. The chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And there were other people. They were holding on to their boyfriends and girlfriends because they were out in the town to enjoy. And they're not enjoying. And they're seeing these devotees and they're just looking, thinking, what? What are we doing? The men are on one side and the women are on the other side and they're in bliss. How is this possible? We're embracing each other. We're squeezing tightly. And we're not smiling like this. We're not in bliss. What is it that they're doing? And then there was a person in Rolls Royce. He was the son of one of the big sheikhs or sultans of Saudi Arabia or Kuwait or one of those places. He was in a Rolls Royce and he heard the kirtan as he was driving by with his chauffeur limousine. And he couldn't believe what he was seeing. Hundreds of people. Just so blissful, dancing through the streets, that he just jumped out of his Rolls Royce and told the chauffeur, you know, just go around the block till I'm ready to come in. And he just started dancing in the kirtan. And he started telling devotees, you know, I have billions of dollars and I'm a multi-wealthy person with so much land and prestige. And my father sent me on a vacation to London. And I've been looking all around for the city for some happiness, and I finally found it. And at one time, there's this statue. It's some kind of a, it looks like Cupid or something. He's holding an arrow like this, and he has wings. I don't know who he is, but he's very famous. He's the centerpiece of London. And there was hundreds and hundreds of people standing around this statue, which is on a raised platform, and they were all different levels up, and they were all looking down at the kirtan. And I was thinking, Krishna is Madan Mohan. Here are all the servants of Cupid, and they are all being attracted to Krishna's holy name. So we just started looking at the difference between those who are struggling so hard to somehow or other, puna punas charavata charavananam, just to get some pleasure by chewing what they have already chewed and chewed and chewed for so many births and deaths through 8,400,000 species of life. We are trying to extract enjoyment from our mind and senses. We've had it all. There's nothing new. There's no such thing as a new type of sense enjoyment. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, there's so many varieties, but it is all the same. These people are struggling. They're working so hard. They work so hard at day to make money, and then they go out and try to somehow or other spend it in a way that they can enjoy, but they're frustrated. Some little enjoyment, but so much loneliness, so much anxiety, so much confusion. What to speak of all the frustration of unfulfilled aspirations that they have in life. And therefore, most of the society takes all kinds of intoxications just to dull their consciousness so they're not even aware about what a miserable condition they're in. And this is human existence. And here are all these people in this hard struggle for survival. And there are the devotees. They're also struggling. They're also working hard. Many of the people have jobs and they have families and so many other obligations. Others are brahmacharis, somehow restricting their senses and keeping it engaged in Krishna service. But all together, they're chanting, they're dancing. There's an aura, an atmosphere of bliss. And these people, they either have to surrender or they have to somehow or other justify that there's something wrong with what these people are doing. Really? If you're in misery and these people are in bliss, if you're squeezing your wife or girlfriend and they're on the women are on that side and the men are on that side and they're blissful and you're trying to find bliss in this and you're not, you either have to send your wife to the other side of the kirtan and join this side, or you have to find out, think of some reason to justify why this is all nonsense, this is bad. Then I can go on doing as I'm doing and feel that I'm right. Otherwise, if I don't think of some justification, she may join the kirtan too. So in this way, if we don't find a justification, our children will join this movement. If we don't come up with a philosophy, an excuse of how these people are bad, then either we have to surrender or the people we love will surrender. Or our society will surrender. And the politicians, if they want to go on exploiting the masses, they have to somehow or other convince society, don't chant and dance. Because then they cannot exploit them anymore. So in this way, on every level, there will always be attacks against Vaishnavas. From the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they would go into the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya or Srivas Thakur, and they would have beautiful kirtans where everyone was simply so melodiously chanting the holy name. And dancing. And the lead dancer was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And the beauty of their ecstatic love was something that would captivate the hearts. But these kirtans were so full of spiritual purity that those who were still too much attached to material desires, or those who were even neophyte devotees, they could not understand such kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya would have them behind closed doors and closed windows. And in this way, it was so wonderful. But anyone who would hear the chanting would have the opportunity to become purified and gradually qualify themselves to join the dancing. and the innocent people of Srinavadvip. They were always so much excited to and aspiring to somehow or other receive the mercy of the Lord. They would think within their hearts and they would speak amongst each other that because of our offenses, because of our impure desires, we are not qualified to enter into this beautiful kirtan. But if we somehow or other please the Lord and worship the Lord and chant His name, maybe someday we will be qualified to do this. But those who were very proud, they simply criticized. They manufactured all the most terrible things against the devotees. What was their fault? They were happy. They were chanting, dancing, and happy. Materialistic people cannot tolerate that. They have to somehow or other justify their position. So what did they do? It is explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat in so many places, all the terrible rumors they were creating. They would talk amongst themselves, they would spread throughout the society that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they are terrible cheaters. They are appearing as Vaishnavas. They are dancing and chanting throughout the night, but we know what they're doing. We have seen. What are they doing? They are taking very, very, very dangerous, terrible intoxications. And in their intoxicated state, they kidnap beautiful young girls and they bring them into the house and they intoxicate them and they perform all sorts of tantric sex rituals. And after that, they start doing all this howling and chanting and singing. They are corrupt. They are polluted. They must be stopped. Somehow we must stop them to protect our society. Besides that, they are chanting so loud that the government at that time was not Hindu. They may plunder us all because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of this Nimai Pandit and his associates. They have gone mad. So let us take all of these Vaishnavas, let us tie them by their hands and legs and throw them in the Ganges. Let us take the whole house of Srivas Thakur and throw it in the Ganges. But this must be stopped. Ah. And poor Srivas, it was his house. People were insulting him in so many ways. They were saying that Srivas was causing the ruination of society. They were accusing he was taking intoxications, he was eating meat, he was having illicit sex, so many things. One such person was Gopal Chappal. He started accusing that Srivas, we know what he's doing. He's having all these dark, illicit tantric rites and having rituals to Goddess Chandi, Durga. And he wanted to frame Srivas Thakur. He put all the paraphernalia of Durga Puja, according to the tantric rites, in front of Srivas's house. There was blood, and there was all sorts of other of these ingredients. And then Gopal Chappala was telling all the people, go to his house, you'll see what kind of a rascal he is. You think he's a saintly person, just see. And Srivas came out. And he said, yeah, you see, I'm worshipping Durga. No problem. But nobody believed. The demons believed. The envious believed. But the pious people, they immediately cleaned it away and washed it with cow dung. And Gopal Chappala, he got leprosy within the next few days. And he was banished from the society and he had to live in misery at the banks of the Ganges. And one day he suffered so much. When you suffer enough, somehow you come to your senses. That's the whole idea of suffering. Suffering is not an accidental thing. It is a procedure of coming to your senses. The question is, how long will you suffer? Some people, they may say that let me just go on enjoying. I know Krishna consciousness is right, but sometime in the future. Why do we postpone such a wonderful gift? We do not know what our destination will be in our next life unless we prepare for it now. So Gopal Chapala, he was very envious. He was always blaspheming, always criticizing, always concocting terrible lies to somehow or other discredit the devotees and get people to lose their faith in Vaishnavas. But he had leprosy, and he suffered year after year after year. And when Lord Chaitanya one day was walking by, Gopal Chapala said, "Please save me. I surrender." Lord Chaitanya said, "Save you? For the offense you have made to my devotee, you will suffer like this for 10 million more births." Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Such mercy. But of course, the mercy is to give him deep realizations of what he has done wrong. And when he really realized, at a certain point he actually came and begged his forgiveness from Srivas Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya was pleased with him because it came from his heart. As soon as he appreciated Krishna and his devotees, then his leprosy went away and he became a devotee and began chanting the holy names. One time, Srila Haridas Thakur, he was always preaching the glories of chanting Hare Krishna. But he was preaching that you should chant very loudly. And he himself chanted very loudly. And sometimes he would dance and sometimes he would cry. He was a very, very wonderful servant of the Lord. Very compassionate. So, one time, a very proud caste Brahmin, he invited Haridas Thakur into an assembly of other proud caste Brahmins. And they all started accusing him, making so many charges against him. They said that these mantras from the Vedas, they are very sacred and pure. And they can only be chanted by Brahmins, born Brahmins who are sacred and pure. And they must be chanted silently in one's mind. Because if they are spoken by the lips, they lose all their potency. So why are you destroying our Vedic traditions by chanting so loudly and teaching the masses to chant loudly? So Haridas Thakur replied by quoting the Shastra. He quoted Srimad Bhagavatam. He quoted Narada Purana, where Prahlad Maharaj explains that chanting loudly the names of Krishna is 100 times more powerful than chanting silently. And it explains why. Because what is the purpose of our chanting the names of God? What is the purpose of our offering arti? What is the purpose of our performing yajna? What is our purpose of fasting on Ekadasi? What is our purpose of doing the samskaras? What is the purpose of any religious rite? Whether it is the birth, the Garbhadan samskara, whether it is the birth ceremony, the name-giving ceremony, the wedding ceremony, the death ceremony, the education ceremony, all of these, it is all only for one purpose. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. It is to please Krishna. If we do not please Krishna, there is no value to any of these things. Om Tad Vishnu Parabhampadam Shadapa Shanti Suraya. We want to please Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. And we are chanting the holy names, and we know that if we please Krishna by doing so, he can purify our heart. It is not simply by our effort, but to the degree we get Krishna's favor. Ragadveshiva muktaistu vishayanindriyaischaran atmavishaya vidhayatma prasadamarigachtati. We follow the regulative principles of religious life simply because we want to receive the mercy of Krishna. That mercy can purify us of all attachments and aversions. So in this way, what pleases Krishna most? What pleases him is when as many people as possible become purified. And when you loudly chant the holy names, that beautiful transcendental sound vibration enters into the ears of all living entities around. Haridas Thakur explains, all human beings who hear it become delivered. And all the animals, and all the insects, and all the lizards, and all the birds in the sky who happen to fly by that kirtan. And even the grass and the trees and the plants, by coming in contact with the holy name, they all become cleansed. And it is this mood of compassion that pleases the Lord more than anything else we can do. One who is compassionate to other living beings, that person is truly a servant of the Lord. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we pray, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane. He is very dear to Lord Krishna. He is most dear to Lord Krishna. Not only because he has surrendered his own life to Krishna, but because he has extended to sacrifice his life to show compassion to everyone by awakening in everyone's heart the desire to loudly chant the holy name. And Krishna explains in Gita that there is no one more dear to me than those who explain this knowledge to my devotees. And everyone is potentially Krishna's devotee. So in this way, Haridas Thakur explained, by chanting silently you can purify yourself, but by chanting loudly you purify everyone around. Therefore, it is so pleasing to Krishna to have such compassion that there is 100 times more power in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very loudly. And besides that, it's easier to concentrate. Anyways, Haridas Thakur quoted from so many shastras, so many evidence. And after he began to declare so authoritatively his conviction, this Brahmin, he couldn't accept it. If a person is motivated, no matter what you tell them, they cannot accept. So this Brahmin became very angry. He said, just see how Kali Yuga has come. I think that the end of Kali Yuga must have come now. That this person, lower than a Shudra, an untouchable, is now interpreting the Vedas and polluting everything. And then he said to Haridas Thakur, if the loud chanting of the holy name is not as powerful as the soft, silent chanting, then I will cut off your nose. And when Haridas heard this, he understood. He did his service. We cannot be attached to the fruits of our action. We just do what we can do, and Krishna is satisfied. Haridas Thakur taught us this principle. So he just smiled and he just walked away and loudly began chanting the holy names. Ramacharya Sri Haridas Thakur ki. Anyways, a few days later, this devotee got smallpox and his nose fell off. He wasn't a devotee, this Brahmin. And Haridas Thakur just went on with his service. Prabhupada said, the dogs will bark, but Krishna's caravan must carry on. So these things are expected. What we have to be very careful to observe and understand is that we are pure. If we are living purely, following these four regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and we are regularly chanting the holy names of the Lord, and we are regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Srinvatam Sukata Krishnas Punya Sravana Kirtana, Hridyantastho Yabhadrani Vidunoti Suhritsitam. By developing a taste and attraction for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes so pleased he cleanses all of the anartas, the unwanted things from our heart. Srila Rupa Goswami explains the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. To daily hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to daily chant the name of Krishna according to a regulated vow, to associate with devotees, to visit holy places, the temple of the Lord where the chanting and hearing of the Lord is going on, it is a holy place, it is a place of pilgrimage. These principles are very sacred and very important. And they are all natural in those places where the devotees reside. So if we are pure, if we are striving for purity and following these principles, we should know that Krishna will always protect us. Konteya pratijani hiname bhakta pranashyati. And we can expect the agents of Kali Yuga to somehow or other test us. It is natural. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, if you are not being attacked by the materialistic people, you must be doing something wrong. Because if you're actually successfully propagating pure life, the materialistic people have to attack you. They must. The Pandavas did nothing wrong. But Duryodhana and the Kurus, they made so many lies against them and tried to discredit them, and Krishna told them, you just depend on me, but you have to fight. You have to fight for the truth. So the devotees must struggle to live by the truth. And obstacles will come, but those obstacles are actually conducive to our spiritual progress. They are actually there to help us to become deeper and more intense in our dedication to Krishna and Krishna's mission. When Gajendra was very happy, he was a devotee, Gajendra, but somehow or other he made some mistakes and became an elephant. And he was enjoying with his family, very nice life. He had so many nice elephant children and elephant wife. And they were all just having a wonderful holiday together. And then the crocodile bit his foot. This is material life. At any time, crocodiles bite your feet. We have all been bitten many times by the crocodile of material adversity. And this crocodile has very strong, sharp teeth. And once they bite, you cannot get out. In fact, everyone is within this crocodile in this world. And at any moment, however nice things are, we have seen your success, you're victorious, everything is very good. And then someone dies, or all of a sudden you lose everything, or some crazy person starts saying all bad things, and then your life again is in chaos. There's no security in this world. Even the greatest persons are assassinated. They are overthrown at any minute. That is material world. No assurance, no guarantee. So Gajendra was the representative of everyone in this material world, enjoying very nicely in the limelight of his life. He was the king of the forest, and then crocodile biting him. And he tried with all his might to get out. He used all his resources. He could not get out. Ultimately, Gajendra surrendered to Krishna. He offered prayers to Krishna. He chanted the name of Krishna. He raised his trunk, reaching out for the mercy of Krishna, offering him his life in the form of a lotus flower. We don't have trunks. Gajendra, his act of surrender was he raised his trunk as he chanted the glories of the Lord. As humans, we don't have trunks, but we have arms. So we raise them and we... The Supreme Lord came down and sent his Sudarshan Chakra, which always protects his devotees. Sudarshan Chakra is especially to protect devotees. And then the crocodile was finished, and on that very day he sent Gajendra back home, back to Godhead, in his original spiritual body. So if it wasn't for the crocodile, Gajendra would have just gone on enjoying with his family until he would have died a peaceful death. And God knows what he would attain after his elephant birth. So the crocodile was actually his servant. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he was at Advaitacharya's house. And his mother told him, you should go to Jagannath Puri, because Krishna is in Jagannath Puri. Vrindavan is very far away. I will never hear news of you if you're living in Vrindavan. But Puri, devotees are always going back and forth. So please, my son, reside in Puri. So Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always anxious to fulfill the desires of those who love him with pure devotion. He was even willing to forsake his own desire to go to Vrindavan to fulfill the desire of that loving servant in the form of his mother, Sachi Devi. So after the kirtan and the prasadam for many days, Lord Chaitanya said, now I will go to Puri Dham. And the devotee said, my Lord, this is not a good time to go. Because there are two opposing armies fighting. They are at war. And there are also many thieves and dacoits. And if anyone is caught, anyone who is trying to travel through these places in Bengal, when they are caught by the soldiers, they are imprisoned, then they are tortured, then they are killed. So this is not a good time. You should wait until things become more conducive to your travel. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, what situation will ever come about where there are no obstacles before us? When? When is there ever a time when there are no obstacles on our path back to Jagannath? Tell the devotees, I will go now. And Advaitacharya, when he heard this, he became very happy. And he proclaimed that what obstacle can block the path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? All obstacles are his servants. and it is a fact. All the obstacles in this material world, whatever they may be, whoever they may come through, they are all servants of the Lord. And what is the Lord's mission? It has already been explained. The whole purpose of the Lord creating this world is to help everyone to go back home, back to Godhead, and purify their hearts. So all the obstacles that come on our path are simply meant to help us become purified. They are the servants of the Lord who have come to serve us. If we simply remain true and faithful to the Lord's desire and pass through these obstacles. So the devotees, they are not surprised, nor are they discouraged when impediments come. But rather, they are simply excited to take shelter of Krishna and overcome. Knowing by Krishna's grace, we will overcome everything. And the truth will prevail. If it wasn't for the impediment of the Kurus, the Bhagavad Gita would never have been spoken. If it wasn't for the impediment of the Kurus, Arjuna would have never become such a devotee of the Lord. We have to fight for truth. In compassion, in love, we must fight against injustice. We must fight against the laziness and the fear that Maya always tries to put in our heart, and the doubt and the So Lord Chaitanya began his journey to Lord Jagannath in Puri. And so many obstacles came his way. At one time they were riding on a boat, and it was night. And it was a secret excursion because it was a very dangerous place. And Lord Chaitanya told his devotee, Mukunda, loudly chant the holy names. And Mukunda began to loudly chant the holy names of Krishna, and they all began to dance. And the boatman became very afraid. He said, stop this chanting. Stop. This is very dangerous. He said, there are tigers. This is a small river. There are tigers on both sides of the river that eat men. And there are in the river, there are terrible, terrible man-eating crocodiles. And besides that, there are soldiers and dacoits who will kill us in a moment if they know we're here. So stop this chanting. Let us silently, secretly make it to the border of Orissa, where we will be safe. So all the devotees stopped chanting, and there was complete silence as they began to ply through the waters of the river. And then Lord Chaitanya very loudly, he spoke, why have you stopped the kirtan? Why are you afraid? Don't you know that where my devotees are together chanting my holy names, I protect them by the Sudarshan Chakra? They are protected by the Chakra of the Lord. Nothing can stop them. No impediment. Go on loudly chanting the holy names. And then Mukunda Dak began his kirtan, and everyone loudly chanted the holy names of God. So in this world, so many impediments will come from within in the form of laziness and doubt and envy and unwillingness to cooperate, so much false ego. All these things come as impediments within. And so many impediments from without. Social pressures, People trying to make you feel guilty, what to speak of all the attacks of various objects of the senses and temptations and lying propaganda. The battlefield of Kurukshetra is everywhere. But if we remain always with Krishna and always understand that if we simply live by his words, remain honest and remain sincere and stay together cooperatively and perform this wonderful sankirtan of the holy name, then the chakra of the Lord will always protect us. And all obstacles will only bring us nearer and dearer to Krishna. And this is the path of bhakti. But we must have this conviction that the highest perfection of religion and of life is simply to become attracted to Krishna. And Krishna conscious life is orchestrated in such a way that everything we do is meant to make us more attracted to Krishna. Krishna's name is all attractive. Krishna's pastimes are all attractive. The beautiful form of the Lord in the temple is all attractive. Service to the Lord attracts our heart toward Krishna. There are 9 processes of devotional service, and they are all meant simply to make us more attracted to Krishna. And as we become attracted to Krishna, naturally we become detached from anything that is not favorable to serving Krishna. Devotees can accept anything if it helps to purify our heart and increase our service to the Lord. And devotees can reject everything and anything if they are not favorable. That is Srila Rupa Goswami's very simple and sublime teaching. Accept what is favorable to acquire an attraction to Krishna and reject what is unfavorable. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that if you are attached to the materialistic enjoyments of society, friendship, and love of this material world, do not go to Keshi Ghat, because there is the beautiful threefold bending form of Govinda playing on his flute. And once you see him, you will become so attracted to him that all your attractions for material existence will go away. It is just a matter of time. And this is our goal. This is the purpose of life, to become attracted to the all-attractive. Krishna is like a magnet who has supreme attractive powers, and the soul is like a particle of metal which is naturally attracted to the magnet. But when the soul is covered by the process of becoming entangled within the mind by so many desires, by so much false ego, it's like rust, it's like dirt, and we are not attracted. The metal particle covered by dirt feels no attraction to the magnet. But if you just wash away all that dirt and let the metal particle just be what it is in its natural state, it is immediately attracted to the magnet. That is the soul's relation to Krishna. Krishna is the supreme magnetic force. He is the all-attractive one. Teto darapanam marajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. And by regularly chanting the holy names and living a pure life in the association of devotees, whether one is a householder at home or whether one is living in the temple, if one lives in that association and chants Hare Krishna, one's heart becomes cleansed. And as the heart becomes cleansed, we become more and more and more attracted to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, has established these centers all over the world simply to give people the opportunity to associate with devotees and become attracted to Krishna. These temples are meant to be dynamic educational centers to teach us how to perfect our lives. These temples are meant to be run by people who are truly exemplary in their behavior and who are truly striving for purification and service to society. And wonderful, wonderful festivals. It is one of the regulative principles of bhakti to celebrate the beautiful festivals in commemoration of the Lord's pastimes. Today we are beginning the wonderful festival of Sri Sri Radha Govinda's Jhulan Yatra. In Vrindavan, at this time during the rainy season, it is their eternal pastime that the gopis and the manjaris and the sakis, they make wonderful, beautiful arrangements for a swing, and they decorate it with nice flowers and creepers and leaves, and sometimes even with jewels and pearls. And they call Radha and Krishna to sit upon that swing, and then all of the gopis assembled, they try to create the most pleasing possible atmosphere. Some are singing beautiful songs in glorification of the Lord. Some are chanting the holy names of Radha and Krishna. Some are playing veenas. Some play mridanga. Some play karatals. Some blow on horns. And others are dancing for the pleasure of Radha Govinda. And some are pushing them or pulling them and making them swing very nicely, to give them pleasure. This festival of Jhulan Yatra is simply the festival of giving pleasure to the Lord. It is the festival where devotees take the ultimate satisfaction in seeing Radha and Krishna enjoying together in this beautiful, beautiful atmosphere of Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada and the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have explained it is very important that all devotees celebrate this beautiful Jhulan Yatra festival. Why? Because by making attractive arrangements for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, we lose all our desires to make attractive arrangements for our own selfish purposes. And by finding satisfaction in pleasing Krishna, we become purified and we become attracted to Krishna, to Radha Gopinath. So today, ladies, they worked all morning to decorate this wonderful swing. And out of their infinite causeless mercy, Radha Gopinath are appearing to us upon their swing and allowing us to actually participate in this eternal pastime of Sri Vrindavan Dham. By playing instruments for the Lord, by singing beautifully for the Lord, and by dancing before the Lord, and by pulling his beautiful swing and seeing these wonderful forms of Radha Gopinath, gradually they will be pleased with us, and more our love will flow toward them. Twai me nanya vishaya matir madhupate sukrit aratim udbahatat adha gangevogam udanvati. Queen Kunti prayed like this. As the river Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, without diversion, Queen Kunti prayed, let the attraction of my heart flow always toward you, Krishna, without being diverted to anything or anyone else. The river Ganges begins at Gangotri, and from that point, it is simply attracted to the sea. It flows to the sea, and nothing can stop its course to the sea. So many obstacles may come in its way. I remember years ago, I used to sit on the bank of the Ganges from sunrise to sunset, trying to understand what is life. Because I had that faith that Mother Ganga can teach me all these things if I just have faith. And what Queen Kunti has said is such a wonderful lesson to learn. The Ganges is always flowing in attraction to the sea. And sometimes big rocks fall from the Himalayas into the Ganges. That rock is an obstacle. But somehow or other, Ganga just flows around it or under it or over it, but it doesn't stop. And sometimes big trees, they fall in the Ganges. But the flow goes around, goes under, goes over, but it just, the flow keeps going. So I was thinking, all the obstacles in life, all the obstacles created by others, all the obstacles created by natural disturbances, all the obstacles created by disease and mental frustrations, they are all like rocks and trees in the Ganges. But we have to just keep flowing. Keep flowing toward the sea of Krishna. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, He is the ocean of mercy. We must continue to flow toward that ocean of mercy. And whatever happens, by just keeping our mind fixed in Krishna and following the principles that the acharyas have given us, we will somehow get around all obstacles and we will come to the sea of Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We will ultimately submerse ourselves eternally in the ocean of nectar, of loving service to the Lord. So Queen Kunti has prayed like this. And we should all be aspiring to pray like this. As the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, Krishna, let my attraction be forever drawn to you without being diverted to anything or anyone else. Queen Kunti was mother. She had children. She had in-laws. She had so many. And she was responsible. She didn't renounce her duties to her family. But she prayed to Krishna, let these attractions only be as much as I can engage them in the service of the Lord. Otherwise, let me renounce them. There is no woman today that is as faithful, responsible a mother as Kunti was. And yet she was completely detached. She was attached to her children because she understood her children's relationship to Krishna. And she was attached to protecting them for Krishna consciousness. That is a mother. That is love. Let us never allow our attraction to go anywhere else. And today, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath have appeared on this wonderful swing just to draw our attraction to them. So at this time, I would like to invite everyone in a very joyful, jubilant mood to celebrate Jubilant Yatra, the swing festival of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. We will begin where everyone can be seated and so that everyone can see the deities. And after a few minutes, you could all stand. And when I'm chanting, you raise your arms. And when you're chanting, welcome the beautiful sound of Krishna in the form of His name into your hearts. And according to Haridas Thakur's recommendation, how should we chant? Very loudly. Not loudly, very, very loudly. Let all living beings become purified. Even those who don't like to be purified, still let them be purified. But Not early in the morning. We let them sleep. But now everyone is awake, so let them be pure. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Jhulan Yatra Mahotsav Ki.